All right.
We like our new pump technologies.
Boy, the silly stuff we do.
Nothing like mixing a female orgasm soundboard with a Dallas scene.
We didn't even talk about this thing yet.
Oh, well, let's talk about that thing.
So I got this, it's called Magnify, with an I at the end instead of a Y. And it came from Arcturus Labs, and it came from
Kickstarter.
It was a Kickstarter project. Basically, what it allows me to do is plug any iPhone up to, well, iPhone 4 or 4S, up to a telescope or microscope, and get a decent, if not perfect,
yeah, it takes picture. A little fine-tuning to get everything in there. When you, like, we, for Greg first got here, he just got it today, we hooked up to a little dinky microscope that I picked up at a garage sale. The lenses were dirty, the slides were old and bubbly.
Tiny little aperture in the
slides were bubble. Yeah, so we hooked it up and we could see stuff through it, and but it was,
it wasn't nearly the same as looking through it.
No. And then you hooked it up to your refractor. But it's cloudy out, so we were looking like trees that were silhouetted against the sky type thing, yeah, against the clouds, and we could see some stuff. Got some decent pictures. I think there is an app, a camera app, that is linked on the company's webpage, and it kind of gives you a circle viewfinder type thing. And it might have some other magic.
Here's some of the pictures, so that's, yeah, you know, so
it might have some other magic, you know, that will help you, you know, take pictures through the app. So you might want to look at that. It was like $3, but
yeah. So that, this is, I mean, and no one's seen this except for you, but
yeah,
there's the unzoomed, this is slightly zoomed in, and this is a zoomed in.
Oh, so you actually got some sunset before,
yeah.
Cool.
So I mean, it worked. It worked pretty well. It even got maximum magnification to give me a slightly grainy picture because I had to zoom in pretty high on it with digital zoom. But
it doesn't look like you were photographing leaves from 600 feet away.
Yeah,
which is what you were doing. So it's like you were about 4 feet away from the leaves.
Yeah. This is a if you can imagine, just, you know, even with that, you see some of the sky around being so, if it was completely black and then you see Saturn in there,
mm-hmm, you'd see the rings. You might, may probably not see stripes, but maybe on Jupiter.
Maybe, yeah. Well, Jupiter also, I mean, this is just on the iPhone. If you know, if you printed out that, if you put this in your computer in max resolution, it would be a bigger picture.
They have some good examples on their website. And before we hooked up to his telescope, we just hooked up to the dinky microscope, which has a really small aperture. I was wondering if there was truth in advertising and the demo photos on their website. You probably can get those, but the average person is not going to get the photos.
I mean, you look at, with just the, you know, not with not max out, I was just using the 25mm lens for the sky, and that's not that bad at all.
No, that's good.
You take a picture of the moon with that, and it would probably get, you probably get pretty good resolution and interesting stuff going on.
The other problem you're going to get with using it on a telescope, though, is it's always going to be a low-light situation. So the ISO is going to bump up on your camera automatically, and the pictures are going to be grainy. You're going to have tons of, the grain's going to be the biggest problem,
yeah,
even if you get everything dialed in. If you find an app, like if the app that accompanies the mount will let you, like, lock the ISO at, like, 200, but do longer exposures, then you might get less noise on the photos.
I don't know if the iPhone allows you to do longer exposures, but I imagine there's some post-processing you can do with the pictures to fix that.
You can smooth out some of the grain, but, I mean, yeah, once the noise is in there, it, you know, you're not going to gain the detail back, right?
Well, what if you took, like I said before, what if you took a video, and then you interpolated those frames?
Resolution
together
of video is only, you know, 1080i. It's 1080 by 1920.
But again, what I'm saying is you take those video.
But no, you'd be better off taking still photos and kind of interpolating those together because you have a lot more resolution.
It doesn't matter because the resolution is not the issue. The problem is that you're talking about the amount of photons you're gathering. You're not talking about resolution. What you're interested in is the amount of photons you're getting. So what you want to do is you want to combine all that data of the photons.
You're still getting more pixels per centimeter, pixels per inch with this.
But you're just getting a quick snap, 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 instead of opening it up for 2 minutes.
But with the video, you're only getting 1/30th of a second, no matter what. Where a still camera's, you know, the camera software on the iPhone, when it's low light, is going to give you a bigger, longer exposure than 1/30th of a second.
Is it?
Yes. It well, probably goes up to like.
You may get 1/30th of a second, but you can interpolate all those 1/30th of a second together. You can combine them together. And sure, it'll be lower resolution, but you can combine those 1/30th of a second.
Doing the same, if you have, say you have, you know, your go-to mount. You have this on your go-to mount, so the picture stays the same. You'd be better off taking several or many still photos than trying to take a video.
I don't know, because.
I promise you. I know this. I know this.
It's about the amount of light you gather. It's not about the.
But you're not gathering. You're not gathering a lot of light. You're gathering. So if you take 2 sec. Okay, so well, you gotta take a minute of video. So that's gonna be 60 times 30. That's a lot of frames to combine together. But if you took an equivalent, or maybe even less equivalent, of still photos, you're oh, what you're saying is, you know, you're going to get several, many thousand of frames.
Right. It's a bunch of photos together.
If it's several magnitudes of orders of magnitude greater, then maybe you'll have something there. I still think if you got that software that stitches things, you know, that overlays and stitches them together and kind of gives you more detail, I think you're still better with.
I mean, I'm not going to get much regardless, because they don't have filters and stuff on there, so I won't be able to, like, you know, take a red, green, blue filter and then combine it.
Just need cellophane, man.
I think the filter is a little more complex than that.
It could be.
I mean, especially if, like, I don't think there's cellophane for hydrogen alpha filter.
Talk.
Blah, 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 wah, wah, wah. So my friend Shane is coming in. Should be in around October. That'll be fun.
Okay.
He should, if all goes well, be here for a show.
Cool. It'll be good to have a guest in here. We'll have to get the room cleaned up. Heather's in.
You have to clean up the room for Shane.
Well, he can't even sit at the guest mic spot right now because Heather has clothes.
So you have to move things. It doesn't necessarily mean cleaning. Moving is not the same as cleaning. Let's see. That'll be in October. We still have the sake show I want to do.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll do that real soon. They're in the fridge chilling, and I'll put them on ice. You know, before we get in, because you said the sake. Did you do the research yet, or no?
I did, yes.
Okay.
So the interesting thing about the sake is that it, and I'll
tell you. Hello. I'm Mitt Romney.
Oh, God. Not yet. I'm still talking, Romney. Shut the fuck up. The interesting thing about the sake is that.
I'm not trying to return to Reagan Bush.
Oh, God. I'm going to slap you, silly. The interesting thing about the... Don't press anything. The interesting thing about the sake is that the rice is not enough to give it... to give the yeast... You know, it's the same yeast they use as beer. But it's not enough to give it enough to ferment. So what they do is they use a fungus mm-hmm. intermediately to break down the rice and give the Saccharomyces something to ferment. So it's
so instead of process. Cooking the rice like Anheuser-Busch does,
right?
Instead of gelatinizing the rice, they use a fungus to work on it and to do a different kind of chemical. Instead of using heat, they're using the fungus to split the rice, and it gives a different character. It gives you the whole rice wine thing, which sake is good. I can't wait. I'm excited.
Yeah.
Hopefully, like, you know, Greg didn't realize when he purchased it, but he purchased the Benihana.
That's the first one I'll try, and then that'll be sort of our control, because I don't think that's... I think that one's meant for, like, hot sake, and the other ones, though, are clearly meant, you know, they're the higher quality, they're meant for cold serving, and those are the ones where, you know, the really... The interesting thing about sake that I find is it doesn't taste.
Just hold on a moment and let me answer your question.
God damn it.
Sorry.
The interesting thing about sake is that it doesn't initially taste like much until you kind of let it fester on your tongue and
do you
fester.
Want some more of this hop zombie?
Sure. Fester on your tongue and sort of fester around in your mouth, and you get then these wonderful aromatic flavors that come mm-hmm. out of these this stuff that comes off. And this perfumey.
I'm not sure if fester is the best word.
It's a post show.
Volatilize. mature.
Uncle Fester. And it really is, I think, a delicious, delicious beverage. And it is essentially a beer. It's not hopped, but it's brewed in roughly the same way.
Yeah, would you call it? Is it no? Because it's not cooked at all, right?
It is cooked.
Is it?
I'm pretty sure.
I think a rice wine would be. You know, you have the intermediary. You have the is it koji? Is that the name of the fungus?
Yeah, I believe so.
You have the koji fungus that converts the starches into sugars that the Saccharomyces can ferment. But you know, I'm more comfortable calling it rice wine. But it is using a cereal grain, where yeah. a wine uses fruit.
There's a brewing process that goes on. Brewing
so
is cooking.
If you're saying brewing...
It's cooked. There is a cooking process that goes on.
Here's what you could say is brewing fermentation converts grains into fermentables. So there's a mash or there's a koji fungus conversion where wines... use fruits that already have fermentable sugars, right? So you have to convert that starch into a sugar,
right?
So yeah, I guess it is more like brewing than wine, even heat or not heat.
Yeah,
heat or
so
not.
So the question is whether you convert from starch or not, and there is a conversion from starch, and that it means it's technically a brewing process versus a wine process, which the conversion mm-hmm. is already.
I'll agree with that. And then, you know, like most spirits that use corn or mm-hmm. barley or... Is there any rice spirits? Is there any distilled rice spirits?
Yes, I believe there are distilled rice spirits. I don't know what they are, but
I can't think of
it. I have to imagine that.
I imagine
you can make vodka out of anything, or you make vodka out of potatoes, and you make vodka out of...
Yeah,
rice.
What's the
I'm
ABV
sure.
of the sake you got?
So sake, I believe, is roughly about 9 to 16%.
Okay, yeah. I mean, so there's definitely. It's not like it's so strong you don't need to distill it. I mean, you don't hear too much about wine spirits, right? But I'm sure that's just a brandy, right? That's a grape brandy or something. Yeah. I'm sure it's been done. You always hear about people distilling other fruit fermentations, but. Yeah, I don't hear much.
Well,
I can't think of any fermented
undiluted sake. Grape. Undiluted sake runs roughly 20% in that range, but they usually dilute a little bit.
Okay.
So,
I mean, I'm trying to think of why isn't there a spirit based on wine? Why don't they make wine and then distill it? You know, I can't think of what that is. Is there something I'm missing?
Let me look it up. Let's see. Distilled wine. Beverage.
I'm sorry, it's my turn.
Shut
You're
up.
A dick.
All right, stop it.
Greg does not like the Mitt Romney soundboard.
So
great. Nice. Yeah. We're Googling. So let me. Breaking Bad.
Okay, so it's called Shochu. But that's just sake. Sake is shochu.
Are you looking up distilled sake? I'm more curious right now about distilled wine and what that's called.
So there's... Shochu is a Japanese distilled beverage that is typically distilled from barley, sweet potatoes, or rice. Though it is sometimes produced by other ingredients.
I guess it's just a brandy. I'm sorry.
And shochu I thought was just regular, is just what they call alcohol. But I guess not. Oh, well, anyway.
So I guess distilled wine is just brandy. I mean, you know, you have apple brandy, you must have grape brandy. Now, there's cognac, which is a variety of brandy produced in France, wine growing region. So I guess cognac is grape-based?
I guess.
Yeah, cognac is the grape spirit. So everyone who is yelling at their iPod right now, iPhone can stop yelling.
They may have an Android.
Yeah, if they're like 13% of the market. No, Android's like 65%.
Yes,
huh?
It's much larger.
I was thinking like Google phone, but yeah, if you got like one of those million of Samsung-based Androids.
Anyway, so what was it you were talking about before this?
Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad. Yes.
We were chatting about that a little bit today, and it was threatening wasting a big chunk of my work day. Chatting with Greg. I'm like, let's just talk about this tonight.
So, I mean, the question is, because I know that you were struggling with this before, and I think what you were struggling with now has been made plain and clear. Walter White is a villain, period. Mm-hmm. There's no way around it anymore.
Yes, he is a villain. I like where it's going. I don't buy his justification. You know, I think I like where the writers are taking it. I don't think the writers explained his giving up reason. You know, making $5 million on selling the methylamine should have been an out that a reasonable Walter White would take.
Right.
And they were trying to show why he is not a reasonable Walter White.
And probably a Walter White before all of this would have easily taken that.
Yeah.
Right, Walter White in the first season would have jumped on it,
mm-hmm.
But this Walter White that has gone through all that he's gone through and has defeated what was, for all intents and purposes, Tim Mendicino, everybody, sort of an undefeatable presence.
Yeah, but he's on his ninth life. I don't buy.
You don't see that you're on your ninth life when you're on your ninth life. Scarface didn't recognize that he's about to go down. When he was about to go down.
But Scarface was Gus Fring. Scarface had the empire. If you never have achieved that, I like you were talking with me today. He's lost everything he cares about. Well, if he quits meth, he's not going to have the risk of someone wanting to come shoot him. So he should be able to see his kids whenever he wants. It'll be a lot of work, but he should be able to get Skylar. He could be able to get Skylar back.
No, that's never going to happen.
It'd be a lot of work.
That relationship is destroyed.
They have...
That relationship is irreparably destroyed.
They have 18 years of history.
It doesn't matter. That relationship's gone.
It'd take a lot of work, but I don't think it's gone. I mean, I think if he worked and wanted it back, he could get it back.
I don't think so at all. I totally disagree with you. That relationship is over. There's been too much there. Too much deception and duplicity and bad feelings. That's not a relationship that can ever... That's a relationship that at best can be mended to the point where it is cordial.
Maybe. Yeah, you know, I don't know.
There's no romance from that relationship anymore.
No, I guess you're right. I'll relent on that. But, you know, he wanted to provide for the people he cared for, which was Skyler and Walt Jr. at the point. You know, Holly wasn't born yet. He wanted to get the money after, you know, so when he died from cancer... He'd make it.
Now,
and
keep in mind, episode 5 or 4 or whatever it was, they offered, the people at Grey Matter offered to pay for him.
Yeah, that was just his treatment, though. It wasn't...
It
started the show how stubborn he was, and he wanted to do it on his own, especially he didn't want to take a handout from an opportunity born from the opportunity... Or he didn't want to take a handout from something that was born of the opportunity that he had given up. You know?
And the possible wife that he had given up, right? Because it wasn't it... there was the...
Yeah.
The girl was... There was a... love triangle mm-hmm. between them. And
yeah.
Yeah.
I don't see him with nothing. You mentioned, you said, you know, freedom is when you have nothing left to lose. That's what the writers want me to think. You know, that's where he's going. I have a hard time buying that he got to that point already. You know, it's
remember, this is a compressed season. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And like I said, this transition, I think, would have taken 3 episodes. It should have taken 3 episodes, but they didn't have the time for it. Like, the transition from them killing the kid to Mike and Jesse wanting out,
yeah,
and Walter not wanting to leave. I think that's a 3-episode thing that mm-hmm. was compressed
sure.
into one.
Because I was talking about how the first 4.9 seasons were a year of calendar time, you know? And then
they're not. They're like, yeah, okay, yeah, you're right. Okay,
and sorry. Then, you know, we know the fifth and final season is going to be a little over a year of calendar time.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that Walter's not going to bite it. So, like, when Mike's holding a gun to his head and he's ready to pull that trigger, you know he's not. You know, there's no chance.
Well, you know that anyway, because you know that there are...
I'm always rooting for the unexpected. I'm always rooting for a movie where the main character, or what's set up as main character, dies in the first 25 minutes. I want to be shocked. I want someone to say, I'm throwing away this main character, and the movie's going to be about, you know, what the fallout, you know.
That's not a story.
There's a story in the fallout.
There's a story, but there's not a story that's... If you build up a story that's about a character for 4 seasons, you can't get rid of that character with 8 episodes left. You just can't.
If you set...
You can get rid of that character with 2 episodes left. But you can't do it with 8 episodes left. There's not enough to carry.
See, I love Mike. I love Mike.
This is not a show about Mike.
I know it's not a show about
Mike. Mike broke bad a long time ago.
I know. I hear what you're saying. I'm not saying Breaking Bad needs to do this, but I am always rooting for a show to throw away their investment and surprise the audience and then build from the ashes.
Yeah, and you know what you get with that? You get The Office. And that didn't work very well.
I want a drama. I want a criminal drama that does that.
Well, didn't Dallas do that when they had, what's his name, Patrick Duffy, die?
I was too young for Dallas.
For a year, and then they had him come back because it was all a dream. Let me try to think of another thing. Well, when X-Files lost Mulder, that didn't work.
Maybe I'm rooting for the impossible, but I would love to see a movie where the person that looks like he's going to be the hero bites it, and then
the question is, how do you'd have to do that early, extremely early, or extremely late? You can't do that in the middle of something because it doesn't jive with the story model.
I think I'm rooting for early. For a TV show, it could be early in a season. But
well, like Lost, they intended to kill Jack in the first hour.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have worked because they would have then shifted to another character in that character. It would have been Kate, and it would have been a different sort of Kate character, but it would have mm-hmm. been... That would have been a character that we would have followed. And then that would have worked in terms of the shock, but then it's okay because Kate would have been the main character.
Well, okay, so let's stretch this. You can do it early, you can do it late.
Right.
But you can't do it, you know, mid-early. You know, you can't do it a little bit later than early. Why mm-hmm. not? If a writer has the chops, why can't a writer do it, you know...
There's a story progression that we all naturally follow.
But can you write a compelling story that doesn't conform to that?
I don't think it's possible to write a compelling story that will drive the narrative correct way to keep you up with it. I don't know. I mean,
okay.
I don't think it's possible. I don't think it's been done yet.
I don't like post-apocalyptic movies. I don't like Blade Runner very much. Even though it's supposed to be amazing, I'm not a big fan of Blade Runner.
Not that great.
Mad Max, you know, those kind of those kind of movies I just don't like. What was one with Will Smith? That was probably the one I liked the most. I Am Legend. That was okay. I don't like those. But the one I kind of did like was the marathon that was Stephen King's The Stand, which was a lot about, you know, civilization rising from the ashes, you know, type thing. So that's kind of what I'm rooting for, is where the hero bites it.
Hero bought it at the very, very end of that.
I'm not talking about a direct explanation, but more of where I say
the hero's journey ended at that.
Where I say The Stand.
Read Joseph Campbell's Hero with a Thousand Faces, and you'll change your mind.
Which movie are you talking about?
It's not a movie.
Oh, okay.
It's a book.
Book. Okay, which one?
By Joseph Campbell. It's called A Hero with a Thousand Faces.
Okay.
It's about the monomyth. It's about the story. It's about the way the story is told and the essentials of basic storytelling.
Okay.
This is not something. And the interesting thing about the basics of storytelling is that it's not something that you necessarily learn. It's something that's instinctive,
mm-hmm.
But it follows a specific progression, and you can actually chart out that progression.
Oh, rising action, climax, falling action. Yeah, that's
simplifying. That's very simple. Like Dan Harmon takes it and moves it into eight steps. He has this 8-step thing, and I think it's a very solid way of looking at the story. And it's sort of you need to go find. I'll look it up. Hold on a second.
Right.
Talk for a second.
My point basically is it impossible to not follow those formulas, right? I mean, I would like to see...
Yeah, here's the story circle. Here, I got it. The character is in a zone of comfort. That's step one. But they want something. Step two. Three, they enter into an unfamiliar situation. Four, adapt to it. Five, get what they wanted. Six, pay a heavy price for it. Seven, return to their familiar situation. Eight, having been changed by the journey. That's...
Sure. That makes a show that you can run for multiple seasons until you get fired off the show.
That's the basic steps of the story.
Let me go back to Breaking Bad. And, you know, imagine a scenario where... You know, one of the dozen times where Walter has a gun to his head, he is killed. And there is an episode or two where Jesse doesn't know what the hell to do next. You know, maybe we start following Gus Fring a little bit more closely. Maybe we start rooting for the DEA. Maybe we, you know, they start following different characters more closely. You start investing more in the characters. So it changes your opinion, and you forget that Walter was the core of the show. I could see that happening. I could see that happening at season 3. It'd be a risk, right? No, cable company would want to say, you're not killing our prize horse, what if people don't like the new show?
Yeah, that's what you're doing. You're talking about changing the show. You're talking about changing
it's a new show,
the story.
It's a new show in the same universe.
Yes. You're talking about a
spinoff.
Spinoff, yeah. That's exactly what you're talking about. You're not talking about the same show. You're talking about a different show. You're talking about a spinoff. It's the same universe. You're talking about Star Trek Deep Space Nine versus Star Trek Next Generation, right? You're covering different people and the same people in different situations.
It changes the perspective. It
changes the dynamic. It changes the story.
Mm-hmm.
These are the 8 steps in the end, in very brief. You need go, search, find, take, return, change. That's it. And so, so this is why you can have a story that's a man is driving a car, gets a flat tire in the rain, comes out, gets his tire, you know, finds his tire, puts it back on, goes home. That's a story, but a man gets a flat tire, werewolf kills him. It's not a story. that shit coming out of nowhere. So in
that sounds like True Blood.
you're not, you know, the man doesn't go through the steps. There's no focus. There's just random shit happening that doesn't.
No, I understand why there's a formula. I'm just questioning whether you can or cannot have a compelling story by breaking that formula.
Well, I'm saying that's very, a spin-off. You're talking about a spin-off.
Fundamental ways. And yeah, the whole spin-off realization to me, I think, is a very valid point. Still processing. I think that's the answer, though.
There is talk. I don't know whether it's necessarily going to happen, but there is actually talk of a Breaking Bad spinoff.
Oh?
Yes.
What angle?
The angle is Saul.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not shitting you. There's talk of a more comedy-based thing about...
That would be fun.
Yeah.
You know, Saul has a good life. He's running all these little, you know, ambulance chaser shit, and then he gets fucking tied up into... Hardcore.
Well, he already was in, you know, tied up in other things. I mean, he obviously knew about Gus Fring's stuff, and so, I mean, the thing about Saul is that, yeah, he is, you know, he's opportunist and all that stuff, but on the other hand, he's not a bad lawyer. Right? I mean, he does what he needs for his clients. He respects attorney-client privilege. He's not...
But he has no morals.
He has no morals, but he's not... He's a lot like... the lawyer, and I can't remember his name, but the lawyer in The Wire, the shifty lawyer in The Wire, who was the drug lawyer, who is the same sort of deal. He was involved in this stuff, but at the same time, he did his job and did his job right and followed the law. He was involved in illegal activity, but didn't want to know the worst stuff about it.
Right. Yeah, I haven't watched The Wire yet. I still need to get back into that.
Yes, you do. Okay. No. No. Unplug your computer.
You like that, don't you?
God.
Gary's not in the mood tonight.
I am not in the mood for a soundboard. Unless you find something interesting.
We all have guilty feelings in our hearts.
But it's certainly a Gary Coleman soundboard is not interesting to me. Neither is a Mitt Romney soundboard. Okay. Find something that is interesting to me, and I'll take it.
All right.
And I'll run with it.
Let me think. Oh, I don't know. I'm not on the same wavelength as Greg tonight.
No. We are on different wavelengths altogether.
Let's see. Breaking Bad. Awesome.
Right. Only 2 episodes left.
Before the break.
Yeah.
And then, what, 8?
Yeah, then 8 after that. Yeah.
Crazy. What else am I watching right now? Hell on Wheels just started their second season. It's decent. I like it.
Cole Meany is in that.
Hmm?
Cole Meany.
Who's that?
He was in Star Trek. He was Chief O'Brien.
Oh! Chief O'Brien. I mean, I know who Brian is. I'm trying to think who he looks like.
He's Irish.
Oh, yeah. Of course he plays an Irish guy. he's playing the guy that almost got killed last season. That's him. It does not look like Chief O'Brien. Does not, if he's the guy I'm thinking of.
The kind of curly hair. Right?
Yeah. Well, not... Yes. I mean, I know who you're talking about. I know exactly who you're talking about. But in Hell on Wheels, I think I know... Oh, no, wait. I'm sorry. He's the head of the railroad line. Okay. I was thinking of the other Irish guy who's kind of a...
Peripheral gotcha. Character?
Yeah. Okay, I gotcha. Yeah. That's just Craft Beer Radio's post-show messing me up. I am watching The Newsroom.
Oh, my God. Why would you watch that bit. Shit? The Sorkin. The Sorkin is invading. And now, here's the interesting thing about Sorkin. I think that... I really do think that The Social Network was one of the finest movies of the last couple of years. And that was written by Sorkin. Mm-hmm. But it had Fincher in it to kind of allay some of those Sorkinisms and to kind of get to the root of, you know, to the diamond that's surrounded by the shit that Sorkin throws up around it. And Sorkin is just throws shit around his diamonds.
So it's a very weird... And you got to know like Sorkin to watch out for this. But you know, it's a raging liberal writing a moderate conservative.
It's not that. It's not that at all. What it is it's a smug, self-centered asshole who is absolutely sure of his brilliance, and then he writes Mary Sue's.
Mary Sue.
Mary Sue is a character written by a writer that's supposed to basically be their reflection of them in the story that they are the best aspects of them are show up in this. So Mary Sue would be, for example, well, Will McAvoy, right, in Newsroom is the Mary Sue for Sorkin, or in Studio 60 it was Matt Albee. In Star Trek, James Kirk is a little bit of a Mary Sue. In Next Generation, Wesley was Gene Roddenberry's Mary Sue, the genius who could, you know, who was uncorruptible. All the best character aspects and none of the worst goes into the Mary Sue. Maybe they throw with some of the words to try to make it a little bit more believable, but it's still a Mary Sue. Look up TV Tropes.
Okay.
You'll see all
that. I mean, you're right. I mean, you know, the Will McAvoy character, you know, he's trying to reinvent himself as the Mary Sue. He has a history where he was not, right? So...
Jeff is shrugging. Shrug. I wouldn't watch that Sorkin shit if you put a gun to my head.
They do beat up on the Tea Party an awful lot.
You can do that just by watching The Daily Show and get better humor and better and more interesting takes than you can in the fucking Newsroom.
Yeah, good point. Okay, I'll stop watching The Newsroom.
I can't imagine anything interesting about it. I mean, I've read a little bits of it. I've read reviews of it, and the reviews are just... The reviewers who I trust hate it. Mm-hmm. Absolutely hate it, despise it. And sort of, you know, in a way that it's like... Like Studio 60, there was a lot of people who sort of watched it and loved to hate it. But the people who watched The Newsroom hate it to the point where they just don't want to watch it anymore. They don't even have the love to hate it anymore. It's just like, I'm disgusted by this nonsense.
I have read some things about how the, you know, bloggers and even, you know, more, you know, credible journalists despise it.
My sister, very credible journalist, mm-hmm. works at Boston Globe. She and I used to talk about Studio 60 all the time because we were watching. We'd be like, "What is this piece of shit?" This went back when she was, you know, a full-on TV critic, mm-hmm. and we were both just like we were shocked and amazed by how cravenly awful it was. And but at that point it was kind of fun to watch, but it got to the point where it wasn't even fun to watch anymore. just how awful it was. It was just awful, just plain awful. The fun seeped out of it, and I haven't talked to her about Newsroom, but I can't imagine it's any different based on what I've read about it. I don't have any interest in watching it. I was very, very apprehensive about watching about The Social Network because of Sorkin, and turned me around. I mean, I really did enjoy The Social Network a lot, but I credit that more to Fincher than to Sorkin. Although I think that Sorkin, I think it's clear that he works better on adapted material than his own stuff. Right? He did Moneyball too, and apparently that was pretty good. I haven't seen Moneyball, but that was adapted too. Social Network is adapted. Moneyball is adapted.
Gotcha. Keeps out those little monologues, those Sorkin speeches.
Yeah.
Out of it. And I'm still watching the vampire soap opera known as True Blood.
I don't know.
There's lots of boobies in it.
So?
No, I mean, I'm going to be disappointed because, like, setting up, like, an all-out, like, military war between vampires and humans. And I'm like, oh, go there, go there. They're not going to go there. It's going to get diffused. I'm like, oh, boo, but please go there.
I told you before. One second. About my idea when I first heard about True Blood and watched the first couple episodes. And my idea for the show was actually that there is an interesting story to be told, but it's way beyond this shit. And it's the idea that because there's this drug V. Mm-hmm. You get it from vampire blood, which makes people, like, not only makes people, you know, have happy, awesome times, but it also makes them sort of kind of invulnerable and things like that. Makes them really strong. And I see a time when the, you know, vampires start getting harvested for this, because it helps out the regular humans. And so essentially, you have companies then that, you know, find vampires and hook them up to machines and suck their blood, and the only vampires they're left are a small resistance force trying to fight against this. It's a different story, but there's some interesting ways to go.
Well, I mean, they're alluding to some of that in this season, where it's the opposite, where the vampires. Bill got pulled into this, the authority, which you might have heard of in some of the early episodes, but they're the religious/government, you know, controllers of all the vampires. They're getting crazy. They think that they've been blessed by the vampire god, and so they bombed all the True Blood factories, so there's no artificial blood anymore, so vampires are going to have to feed on humans, and they want to basically enslave the human race as cattle, you know, so, and then they had actor name. Guy from Law and Order and Wet Hot American Summer.
Paul Rudd.
No.
Oh, Chris Maloney.
Chris Maloney. He was playing like the king of the vampires, and he had a thing worked out with the U.S. government, the general guy, where like they were. He was all about mainstreaming, you know, this whole True Blood, the whole True Blood thing, you know, the whole plot of True Blood, where vampires were mainstreamed and living with humans. And then they killed him, and basically they want to, you know, enslave humans, like I said. And the general came down, and he's been working with Chris Maloney for 20 years to get this all set up. And like, we, you know, they have weapons, you know, vampire countermeasures to take out weapons. We're gonna fuck you up. And then they kill the general. So now they're like, the next episode they're like avoiding World War III with humans. And, you know, doing the other thing. So I'm like, I know they're not going to go here. They're going to go the more soap opera route. But, oh, it'd be so cool if, you know, there was just war and annihilation and death everywhere, you know. I was hoping, but it's not going to happen.
No, they're more interested in fairies and shit like that, right?
So. Yeah, fairies are a big part this season. Just kind of put it on while I'm working on my computer.
You can get boobies anywhere. You can get a soundboard of boobies.
You can. Well, not anymore.
So I'm not interested in True Blood because it's the soap opera bullshit. Mm-hmm. And okay, there are boobies. So what? I can see boobies anywhere, anytime.
Yeah, but not the Indian chick from Numbers.
No, but I can see chicks that are plenty attractive.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it's just... What? That's the last season for True Blood 2, I think, right?
I don't think so.
No? I thought I heard it was the last season.
As far as I know, it's not.
It should be the last season. They're wrapping up.
It shouldn't have been the last season like 8 seasons ago? I think it's only been on for 6 seasons, but it should have been the last
season. I think Human Vampire War should wrap up the last season.
But then what do you have? You have The Walking Dead after that, right? I mean...
Oh, don't even get me started on The Walking Dead.
All right. I won't.
I want to like the movie, but the actors are just so bad. The dialogue is written so poorly. We need some Sorkin to write their dialogue.
Oh my God, no Sorkin. No.
It would be a refreshment.
No Sorkin.
It would be refreshing to have Sorkin write The Walking Dead's dialogue. We talked about this before, but The Walking Dead is a show I so want to like, but I hate the monologues.
I thought you said you don't like post-apocalyptic stuff. So why would you want to watch? Why would you want to like The Walking Dead?
That's interesting. Maybe it's more of the dystopia that I don't like.
Seems pretty dystopian to me.
Maybe it's the always night, raining, future Blade Runner dystopia. I don't know.
Well, the reason why it was always night and raining in Blade Runner is because the effects weren't good enough to show stuff during the day. Mm-hmm. So the always night and raining made it so you could... So it was a little bit more conceivable. So it's like that... Remember the 1990s Godzilla movie where it was... You know, the American Godzilla movie where it was a shitty... I guess, but everything was filmed in dark and at night, and
I never saw it. Rain vaguely,
because the graphics were so awful that they mm-hmm. had to cover it up. That was the same reason I didn't night.
So maybe whatever. I just don't like primitive. Maybe I don't like primitive dystopian post-apocalyptic.
Well, you said movies. Mad Max, and that was certainly in the daylight. It was just desert.
Yeah, those ones didn't do it for me. I don't know. Maybe I just like zombies. I don't know. They use too many bullets in Walking Dead, and their monologues suck. If I was in that place, bullets would be more precious than gold. And that finale last season where they're guy shooting a shotgun like 80 times before reloading, it's like, oh, come on, motherfuckers. Get a little bit realistic on these things. Just a little bit. People were shooting with a handgun out the window of a car, sitting on the window of a car, handgun extended, and they're hitting zombies at 50 feet. No.
That reminds me.
Bullets are not magic.
I wasn't listening to much of the Breaking Bad sound so much last night, and the night before that, but I don't remember hearing the whenever guns were pulled out.
Oh.
You know, in most series and stuff, whenever a gun is pulled out, you hear it cock, mm-hmm. which is, of course, ridiculous. Cock like a revolver cocks.
Oh no, cock like a combine. You know, like one of those lever action.
Yeah,
yeah, that's always, or a shotgun. It's always a pump action.
Yeah.
Even when they're like lifting an automatic rifle.
Yeah.
When Walter escaped from the zip tie, the riot cuffs. You know, he used the used AC current in a power cord.
Right.
And I said to Greg, I'm like, that's third degree burns easy. And he's not going to be just washing that off with water. And Greg's like, I don't even think it's possible to accomplish that. The precision necessary to accomplish that melting without it's either impractical or implausible.
Yes. I mean, I don't even know if you could take this lamp, cut its cord, and do that, and get a.
You get a big spark. You got to worry about if you do too much current, you're going to pop the breaker.
Mm-hmm.
The tolerance between too much space to not get a spark and too little space to make a connection and not have a usable spark is so little. And then the burns he would have got, the heat generated from that.
Yeah.
But it destroyed him. I like a lot of the like the methylamine heist. The only problem I had with the methylamine heist was they didn't know what order the methylamine car was going to be in until just a few hours before the heist. But they planted the tanks 800 feet from the engine, you know, days in advance, and it happened to be the second to last car.
Yeah. You could maybe say they had enough tube to cover if it wasn't.
But what if it was the first car? You know, and the engineers are right there.
Yeah, well, then they would have been screwed. Then they would have just waited for the next truck, I guess.
Yeah, the next shipment. Yeah, you're right. It was fun. I was wondering at the beginning of the episode, what's up with that kid on the motorcycle?
Oh, I knew it would. I mean, it would come back.
I really, really kind of caught me by surprise how it came back.
It didn't catch me by surprise because I knew once they showed that and then they were in the desert, I knew that that kid was going to be involved. I didn't think they were going to kill the kid. I thought the kid may have seen it and then told somebody and that would have been you know, a downfall. I didn't think it was going to be.
What do you think about Todd's, Todd's his name, right?
Yeah.
What do you think about his, you know, where he said, you know, kid could have took off the motorbike, but we never caught him. I think I made the right decision.
Todd did what he was told to do.
Wasn't supposed to have a gun, though. But
wasn't supposed to have a gun, but Todd was told no one can know about this. Nobody. Mm. Nobody can know about this. He was told this several times by both Jesse and Walter.
That's an awesome point. I didn't even draw that back. Jesse told him nobody can know about this. And then Jesse had the biggest problem with the kid biting, you know, getting shot. And it was also a nice callback to the early episodes where they were dissolving people in bathtubs.
Yeah.
With hydrochloric acid or whatever.
I don't know how effective that would be on a dirt bike, but
there's acids that'll dissolve metal.
I don't know if hydrochloric would. Hydrofluoric probably would.
I don't know which one. I don't even want to hazard a guess, but I'm sure there's an acid that eats metal.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
That's why acids eat metal pretty easily. That's why when you use Drano as a base, as a strong base, which doesn't eat metal, and whereas if you use acid, it would eat metal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that was it's been a heck, like, you know, I was on vacation, so I watched the last two episodes almost back to back, night, you know, one night then the next night, and I'm glad, because if I had to wait a week between those episodes, I would have been like
Jones. Yeah, I mean, it's sort of like, you know, with me, when I caught up with Breaking Bad, I was able to watch episode after episode after episode after episode. And I was like, man, I mean, there was a plus and a minus to it. And the plus was I got to see the next episode right away. But the minus was I sort of felt like I was missing out on that great tension between the episodes.
I watch Sopranos, you know, on DVD, like almost everything, you know, right up to the end. So it was really a marathon on the Sopranos. Much the same thing, and I'm like, oh, this is great. I wouldn't want to watch it, you know, week to week. It's spoon fed to me, but you know, you and I are very different. Breaking Bad, I watched it from episode one, and you caught up this past season. You remember a lot more about the early seasons than I do.
Yes,
you know, because I haven't gone back and watched any of them. So there's a slight advantage there. And now you actually have the tension week to week,
too. I mean, there definitely is an advantage to watching these shows that you get, to watching them straight through. And to waiting till a season's over and just being able to watch them straight through, especially now that, you know, that's so common and DVDs are available of the shows and stuff like that. As long as it's a good show. I mean, if it's a show like, I don't know.
My Two Dads?
Yes, My Two Dads. If it's a show that does not have a progression, you know, it's not a Yeah, that is a procedural as opposed to a. What am I thinking of? A non-procedural.
Exactly. One that has cliffhangers every week.
It's a, you know, a story, a continuous story. Mm-hmm. There's a word for that, and I don't know, and I'm blanking on what it is right now, but. You know, a show that does that, it is more interesting for this sort of stuff. But, you know, even a show like, for example, some comedies do this.
Well. Yeah, I mean, you can certainly,
How I Met Your Mother, I assume, does this where they have a continual story. Community had that, Parks and Recreation. The Office had something where they build.
But even, certain comedies that don't really, that are more episodic, right?
Yeah.
Louie, The League, those ones, they would still be fun to watch, in a marathon back to back to back. Just, but they don't have any tie-ins, there's no cliffhangers where you have that suspense from a week to a next week.
Yeah. I think we did enough of a show.
Yeah, I think so. Let's go.
Let's take a look outside, yeah.
See if there's anything we can take pictures of, even though there's no
planets. The planets are gone.
Damn planets. And stars are just going to look like spots, so I can imagine they're going to be worthwhile. Let's see if the stars are out.
Yeah. I mean, we could always. It's a lot to work to get that out, but we could find interesting stuff if it's clear. But.
Taking a picture of it with your cell phone.
Maybe another time.
You might be able to see Uranus on a cell phone picture with the mount with that telescope.